Welcome back to Words of the Wise. I'm your host, Lexi Maynor, and today's episode is extra special. Episode 46 features someone who has been a longtime family friend and one of my grandpa's very best friends, Coach Bob Bartolomeo, or as many people know him, Coach Bart. Coach Bart has lived an incredible life as an athlete, a coach, and a mentor to so many young men on and off the field. In this conversation, he takes us from his childhood in Northern Indiana to his playing days at Butler to decades on the sidelines shaping college football programs and countless lives along the way. You will hear stories of faith, family, leadership, and the lessons that have carried him through nearly 71 years. Here's episode 46, Coach Bart.
Bob Bartolomeo, Coach Bart, is a lot easier than that last name. 70-year-old, soon to be 71 in October, and feeling good.
All right, love it, feeling good. So we're going to start by talking about your childhood.
Okay.
So could you tell me a little bit about what your parents were like?
An interesting childhood. There were five Barts, so to speak. Three boys and two girls. We grew up on the east side of Gary in downtown. I mean, we were 7th Avenue, which is downtown Gary. And we had a mom and a dad that were great people. My dad was very active. He's a fireman, and they work one day off too. Well, the 2 days he was off, he worked in the steel mills. So he was, needless to say, a guy that presented how to work hard and make a living for a family. And so he did a good job that way and provided for five people. And then my mom, she was a stay-at-home mom. And back then, that's probably what they did. Later on in life, she went to work, but she's a German Irish gal that pretty tough herself, and again, it was a good combination to have both of them, and then also with my brothers and sisters.
Yeah. So German, Irish, and then your dad was Italian.
Yeah, his dad came over on the boat. I mean, it was an interesting passage. My dad's family is from northeast of Rome, and they came over, and what the people did then, they went to places where they could get jobs, and so they ended up in Wyoming.
Really?
Yes, and that's where my dad was born. And why Wyoming? Well, they had coal mines.
Okay.
And they needed miners, and so my dad's dad got a job there, and they lived there till the mines kind of dried up, and then they went and moved to Gary, which was the next place where you could get a good job, and that was in the steel mills.
Yeah.
So they kind of followed that route, and that's where he met my mom, and the rest is history.
Rest is history. Yeah. So you had five siblings. Where did you, or you were one of five?
Right.
Where did you fall in that order?
I had two older brothers. An older sister who was the oldest of all of us, and then a younger sister.
Okay, so and you were the fourth.
I was the fourth, yeah. So,
yeah.
Youngest boy.
Uh-huh.
So there were three of us in a room. I felt that younger boy.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, anyways, so, but sadly, two of them have passed already, and I have a brother that lives in Florida, and he's struggling with some ailments himself right now, and in fact I just talked to him, and then I have a younger sister who lives still up in the northwest Indiana.
Okay.
So I still have two around, but yeah. At the same time, that's kind of where we are.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, well, my one brother was 49, he died of cancer.
Oh, so, I'm sorry.
And he was kind of the life of the party. He was the mm-hmm. second boy and probably the best athlete.
Really?
That's for sure. Yeah, he had offers from Notre Dame and everywhere out of Andrean High School where we went to school in his junior year, and then he broke his leg.
Oh,
and all
dang.
Of a sudden, all those offers kind
went
of went away.
Yeah.
So, anyways, but He was a great athlete, but he was a handful for my parents.
Really? Well, if you said life of the party, then
yeah.
I could imagine.
He definitely was.
Yeah. So what was your typical day like as a kid?
Oh, God. Well, you know, it depends what season it was, sport-wise. Because my dad, we were very active in the CYO. Mm-hmm. My dad coached, and he also coached our Little League teams. He coached our CYO basketball, Biddy basketball, which is, I don't know what they call it now, but so we were all involved with sports and year-round, and when there was a break, then, you know, with me and the neighborhood kids and I were playing sports. I mean, it's like, that's what we did.
And, just played outside.
Yep, till the lights, street lights came on, and then you had to get home.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have any other hobbies, or was it really just sports?
My dad was a hunter.
Okay.
And we had bird dogs or pheasant dogs. And your great grandpa Dick and I used to talk about that a lot.
Really?
And, we'd go hunting and pheasant hunting. And we had English pointers and what have you. And my dad was big on them. And we did that in the fall. And other hobbies, now, you know, you rode bikes, we had kind of a forest or a tree-lined facility down the alley from us with train tracks, and we got, in trouble down there.
Oh, really? So, yeah. At the tracks?
yeah, so.
Oh, that's funny. Do you have a favorite childhood memory, do you think?
Boy, we just, it was a great neighborhood. I miss, for my kids, I mean, it was very ethnic oriented. Mm-hmm. So you one house, you'd have people from Greece, you'd have people from Italy, you'd have Irish, you'd have Czechoslovakians, you'd have Slovaks. I mean, you had a melting pot of people.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool because everybody kept their doors and windows open, and so when the women, I hate this downgrade, and they're not being downgraded, when they were cooking, man, it smelled great.
So good, yeah. Like all different parts, like cuisine from all over the world.
Yeah, yeah, you got hungry. It was unbelievable. So, but I thought that was, as you reflect on where you grew up, I thought that was pretty cool. The people from all these different nationalities and ethnic groups could come together, and we had Mexican Americans, we had African Americans, and I mean it was a melting pot of people, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, that is really cool to think about.
Back in 1960s.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Did you have a job growing up?
Well, paper route. I mean, it's okay. Passed down. You know, the older brother, the younger brother, and me. Yeah, we carried the route.
You did?
Yeah, oh yeah. We had to go house to house to collect. So it was, you never know what you get, you know.
Yeah.
Dogs or people, dressed in their whatever. It was interesting. So, and you know, you collect their 50 cents for the week or whatever it was. But yeah, it was paper route's the only thing. But my parents didn't really force me to do anything else.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was very fortunate.
Yeah. So, typical night in high school.
Mm.
Yeah, take the Diet Pepsi.
I got to keep that clean, do I?
No, you can say whatever you want to say.
I got good friends. I got two good buddies. That one went to Butler with me, and one went to Purdue. And, you know, both have become very, very successful guys. And we're still best of friends. It's pretty cool because it goes back to like 69.
Wow, yeah.
And so
lifelong friends.
Yeah, and we get together, two of us for sure, every summer. He has a place on the Chesapeake Bay that I go to, and then the other guy, he'll show up every other year or whatever. Mm-hmm. So the three of us go back a long ways, and we hung out and we had fun, and you know,
Got into trouble sometimes in high school.
We'll stop there.
Okay. So what about your athletic career in high school?
You know, because of my brothers, you had to, you know, live up to something. My brothers were pretty good. Like I said, the oldest was a good player. He ended up going to Indiana State playing there. The other one was a really good player.
And broke the leg.
He broke his leg, but he still went on and played college. But he in college didn't see eye to eye.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he saw eye to eye, but yeah. He didn't see the reason behind your
the education.
Going. Yeah, the education part. Anyway, so I played quarterback, linebacker. About that? Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so that was kind of different because at the time, the wishbone was real big during that time.
Oh.
And everybody was running the, you know, the Oklahoma wishbone, and Notre Dame was even running it. And, we ran the wishbone, and then I played linebacker also in defense.
So. Yeah.
And then, I played all the sports. Towards my junior year, I played hockey in the winter.
Okay.
I wasn't much of a basketball guy.
I
was a B team guy as a freshman. You know, didn't make the A team. They had two teams, A and B.
Okay.
I was a B teamer.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah, short, squatty guy. Anyways, so then I got into hockey.
Yeah, because I bet Northern Indiana. Yeah, that is.
Yeah,
big.
Well, we played at Notre Dame.
Okay.
And practiced at Notre Dame, so. One day a week, we drive an hour to practice, drive home, and then the next 2 days later, we drive an hour and then we play. Mm-hmm. So, we had a good team too. We won. It was club hockey for high schools at that time, so we played a lot of schools in Southern Michigan and some South Bend schools.
Yeah.
They had a couple of schools got together and got teams. So, and then we went into Chicago and played some tournaments there. Yeah, it was fun.
It's a fun time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's great. You know, after the game, you go to Michigan with the 18-year-old drinking age.
Oh, yeah. That's nice, too.
So, yeah. Anyways,
no,
that was fun.
That's great. As we're wrapping up this kind of childhood question or section, what would you say is the greatest thing that your parents taught you?
Hard work. Hard work. Yeah. Dad was... tenacious guy, he didn't cut any corners. He would never do anything like this. He was not a very verbal guy in terms of showing love and everything, but he was he'd do anything for anybody. Any neighbors needed anything done, and he wanted nothing in return. So, but he also laid the groundwork for myself in terms of hard work and what it can get you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That's good. So then after you graduated high school, you obviously went to Butler. What went into the decision to go there?
Well, I visited, like a lot of kids or young men, visited a lot of places, and I just fell in love with Butler. I could see myself fitting in there, with the type of players that I met there. There were a couple guys from my high school there, a couple guys from the area down there playing already. Just one of those things where you got to make a decision. And so it was a pretty easy decision, really.
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously then, like, so you went there. What was your experience like there?
Oh, well, that's where it all started. I mean, not all started, but it was, it's been... a big force in my life.
Yeah.
On a lot of different fronts, starting with the education part of it and the people you meet. It's just, God, they're so great people.
I mean,
you know, even today, there is a boatload of guys that we get together and laugh and talk about old times like it was yesterday. And it's just a special, special place. It really is because of the people.
Yeah.
And that starts with the professors and the coaches we had, and it just goes on and on.
So, yeah, it would have been Sylvester, right, was your coach?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Bill Sylvester. I used a lot of his techniques. I used a lot of his sayings, and he was, you know, he was an old Marine drill sergeant.
Oh, I didn't realize
that.
Yeah,
and so he was unique, and he was he's a tough guy to get to know early on, but once you did, and you showed that you were you know, a guy that could be trusted and bought in, then he really opened up to you. But he really got me started in football.
Really?
Yeah. He helped me talking pretty much after playing, even, you know, being able to take off and be a GA there and then be an assistant there and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he really was a mentor.
Oh, big time. Mm-hmm. Big time. And his whole family. I mean, you know, his son Billy worked for me. I hired him when I got the head job. And because, you know, we went through some tough times with Bill. You know, with Coach Sylvester.
Yeah.
I never called him Bill.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, you know, because we weren't, when I was a GA, we were struggling. And early on in my coaching career there, we were struggling with Butler. And that was at the time in the 70s, or, you know, not 70s, but the early 80s were players kind of, you know, were into, well, they were doing it at Notre Dame with Faust, and they were doing it, you know, I don't want to compare us, but they weren't very happy with Coach Sylvester, and it was circle the wagons, boy. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great to go through now, but it wasn't then. But he was a great leader.
Yeah. What are some of your best football memories at Butler as a player?
We won a lot of games.
Yeah.
It's always fun to win.
Oh, yeah.
Know? And we won championships, you know, in terms of that. But again, it goes back to the camaraderie of the players, with the players, the coaches. Those are the memories you keep. You know, the wins and losses are great and that type of thing. And, you know, it wasn't that I was not a star. I mean, I was not like your grandpa. He was a star. But I mean, he Big Bill. We all got along. Post game, you know, we were at each other's fraternity.
Were you in the fraternity?
Yeah, I was a Sigma Chi.
Oh, so you were in a different fraternity.
Yeah, I was a different one. Yeah. Uh-huh. And we had them in about every fraternity there was on campus, which made it cool.
Yeah, that
is
cool.
We weren't all in one. One through a party, we were all, you know.
All in on it, yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And we had fun and we won.
Yeah. Which, again, that's fun.
I always say that.
Yeah.
That's first and foremost in my mind.
Yeah, winning.
So, yeah. So, that part was fun.
Yeah. And you are one of my grandpa's best friends.
Do you remember how you two met? 73.
Yeah. Do you know how you do? You remember how you two met? It was just like kind
of
happened.
I walked in and he was hurt because he was a year ahead of me.
Oh yeah.
And he got hurt the spring.
Oh yeah.
Prior, 70, because he was a 72.
It was his knee, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never, and this is Hebrew, I don't want to say this, but you may admit this, but I never heard a guy yell. But I mean, they were taking his knee. And they had it connected between the bottom part of his leg and his thigh, and the way they stretched it is, they had like a screw there, and they were screwing that thing. We were all going,
oh no!
Shit.
Because my grandpa wouldn't do that.
Probably. I was a freshman. I was like, what the hell's going on in there? The older guys go, that's just, you know, and they all said, it's just Lynch. He'll be all right.
So, yeah, and he was.
Yeah. Oh, he was awesome the next year.
Yeah.
Next 4 years.
Yeah. Anyways. That's fun, though. What was your major?
I had a PE history major. I was in education.
Yeah.
I knew I wanted to coach.
From the jump.
Coming out of high school, I knew I wanted to coach at the highest level I could get to, and there was no doubt about that in terms of my mind. So I knew what I wanted to do. It was all a matter of being patient and how do you get there.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you did end up going into coaching, of course.
Right.
You're around college students all the time. What advice would you give to college students, I guess, or college athletes?
I'm kind of out of touch right now. But I mean, I just say, have some common sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's easy to fly off the handle one way or the other, but, you know, and also be accountable. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to screw up, be accountable. And if you're going to do well, be accountable.
Yeah.
And so those are things that, you know, we try to talk about a lot. And, you know, and another saying that we used a lot is, hey, just do what you say you're going to do.
Yeah.
So anyways, little things like that we try to instill in kids and mm-hmm. Young men and try to help them grow up.
Yeah, it's an important job.
Oh man,
it is. It is crazy. I mean,
you got 115 of them.
Yeah, my I forget which one of my uncles, but someone. I mean, so many people say this, but it is pretty crazy that you put your well-being into the hands of 18-year-olds.
Oh yeah, your life is in control. That guy's controlling my life.
Yeah. It's funny. So how did you get your start in coaching then? Where was your
Butler? Coach Sylvester, when I graduated, he hired me right away as a GA.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to work on my master's. So I got my master's in 2 years and was a GA at Butler. And then from there, I took a job at Roncalli for a year.
Oh, okay.
High school. Ed Tinder.
Yeah. My grandpa wants me to interview him too.
Yeah. He'd be a good, he could do this anyway. So he's a fun guy. And
yeah.
He hired me. He was the head football coach at Roncalli. And funny story. From there, Tinder left and he became the executive director of the CYO in town.
Okay.
So the job at Roncalli was open and I was an assistant there. So I interviewed for there. And in the meantime, Bill Koontz, who played at Butler and was coaching at Butler,
uh-huh.
also interviewed at Roncalli.
Oh.
And he got the job, which he should have. He was probably a little bit further. He's a little older than me.
Yeah.
He's kind of a little more seasoned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a Southside guy, and
yeah.
He's a Cathedral kid. So. Kid, and I said he's older than I, you know.
But yeah,
wow, everybody's a kid. Anyways, yeah. Sound like Hinkle. but yeah, so he got that job at Roncalli, and then Sylvester hired me at Butler.
Okay, so then you came. Swamped. You came back.
Yeah. So that was good for me because it got me into a full time job in the college ranks, and
yeah,
away we went.
Yeah, and then from there. Where did he go? I guess just take me on this
Butler,
coaching journey.
I worked for Coach Sylvester. Then he got out and just stayed with the AD part. And then Bill Lynch, you know,
yeah.
he took over. So I worked with Bill there. And, you know, I was working with Bill as an assistant. And he left for a year, I think, and went to, that's where he went to Orlando.
Oh, yeah, for the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think he went to Northern and then Orlando with Corso. Yeah. Anyways. So, and then I remember when he got hired, which was good. Bill Sylvester got out. They hired Bill. And it was real tough on a coach called Don Benbow. Don was there for a long time. Great assistant. Awesome coach. All-American guy there, played for the Vikings.
At Butler?
Yeah.
At Butler? Okay.
Yeah, and he was on the staff. And I'll tell you, Don handled it like nobody else. And Don taught me everything, like a great mentor for me in terms of defense and that type of thing. I got lectured a lot by Don.
Really? That's how you learn?
No question. I sat there, taking notes. But, yeah, so Bill got the job, and we ended up smooth as silk.
I mean,
it ended up awesome. We were, you know, at each other's houses after the games, and, you know, we all had
just
fun.
Just fun, yeah.
And we won.
Both were coaching for your alma mater.
Yeah, we won.
Yeah, there you go.
We won. Yeah. So, you know, and then... Then Bill left, and I got the job in 90. And then, and then in 91, we had a good run. Mm-hmm. We were at, got in the playoffs and went out to Pittsburgh State in Kansas. And they eventually won the national championship because we were Division II at that time.
Yeah, okay.
And so, yeah, it was, you know. But in the meantime, we've been to playoffs with Sylvester in 81. We were playoffs with Bill. God, the years escaped me, but we went, I think, time or two with Bill to the Division II playoffs, and, mm-hmm. you know, so.
Good stuff.
That's kind of the Butler segment for me, which was a big part of my life.
Yeah.
I was there for like 11, 12 years.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And wouldn't trade it, you know, I wouldn't trade it for anything, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes you look back and you go, wow, I should have moved, you know. We had so much fun.
Yeah, it was worth it.
It was. We had a bunch of, anyway, like I say, we're still friends to this day.
Yeah.
And your Bill was awesome to work for. So is Coach Sylvester. I mean, there's just...
There's, good bosses.
Yeah, make it easy, mm-hmm. you know, because you put in a lot of time and effort. Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Bembo was awesome, too.
Yeah.
That guy, I miss that guy. He's special. Anyways.
Yeah, I love it.
But, yeah, you
Butler.
Want me to keep going?
Yeah, you can just
okay.
go on through.
All right. Let's see. Well, that was 1991, and then it was going through some changes at
okay.
that time. And there's all kinds of talk of dropping football, and there's
really?
All kinds of stuff.
I didn't
yeah,
know that.
It was the president, they really didn't care about football.
Interesting.
Yeah, they really didn't. It was, and so I said, that's kind of why Big Bill got out, and Billy and Lynch, but he had better opportunities. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah, I went to, Ball State,
yeah.
and I worked with Bill again
yeah.
for 1 year.
And what was that like? The
Rick Minner, who was whose son Jesse is the D coordinator with the Chargers.
Oh, okay.
But Rick was a defensive guy at Ball State, and they just ran I think 2 years before I got there, a year they won the MAC, and he went to Notre Dame and worked with Lou Holtz. But I took his spot at Ball State. I coached the linebackers with Paul Shadell as the
yeah,
head coach.
Yep.
And he was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked Paul. I learned a lot from him,
mm-hmm.
you know, in terms of how he handled certain things. And,
yeah.
You know, and like every other boss, you use some and some you don't use.
Yeah.
You know. So
you take the good. You
exactly.
Try to
shake
the
it out. And
yeah.
Whatever fits your personality.
Yeah.
So, anyways. We Ball State was fun. We won a, and then your dad left. He went to, or not your dad, your grandpa left.
Yeah.
He went to IU, and then we won the
in MAC.
In 93, we won the MAC.
Yeah.
And went to the bowl game, and then
so
and
was
then
what,
Paul
when,
left.
Yeah.
In 95, and Bill got the job,
yeah.
which was awesome, and he kept me, which was awesome.
Yeah.
Because you never know, you know.
Yeah. yeah.
I'd have killed him, though.
No, he wouldn't have done that.
I thought I had a shot. Put it that way. Yeah, anyway, so, yeah, you know, you're sitting there going, oh, shit.
Oh, it's yeah. your best friend, one of your best
family,
friends.
Our family's got to be fed here. Anyway, yeah. so it was a good thing. And then we won the MAC in 96.
Yeah, with that was Brent Baldwin was
year.
There, right?
What's that?
That was Brent Baldwin was the quarterback then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Baldy was, I'll never forget him. You know, he took a big shot to his mouth. And I was the defensive coordinator. So
yeah,
I,
yeah.
you know, we had a good defense. I mean, we mm-hmm. were like top 15 in the
oh,
country.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We had great players.
Yeah. hey, that helps.
Let me tell you. yeah, it wasn't anything I did. It was those guys. I mean, we had some guys who go on and play professionally, but they were good. And but we got them lined up and let them play. But Baldy, I'll never forget. I forget what game it was. He took a big hit and he came to the sideline. And Bill, Coach Lynch, asked him a question. He goes, It broke my jaw.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah. That's he couldn't get it.
He couldn't
out.
Even he, say it.
So he played the rest of the year with a wired jaw.
Oh man.
Didn't miss a beat.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That's not ideal.
No, but anyways, he was a tough guy.
Oh yeah.
Later on, he became real successful. In life, doing all right.
Oh yeah.
We had a bunch of guys like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just great players.
A lot of times, collegiate athletes end up.
Yeah.
Being pretty successful.
He's doing well, from what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so where are we?
You went to Ball State.
Ball State. So we're winning games there.
And then
we went through a tough time.
Yeah.
And Bill was solid as a leader, and as you expect, and we all hung together. Mm-hmm. The players hung together, and we got that thing turned around, and then we thought we got it turned around, and the higher ups didn't totally agree.
Yeah.
But
it happens sometimes.
It happens. Yeah. Staying it long enough.
Yeah.
That's what I tell the young guys, staying it long enough.
It'll happen eventually.
That's right. There's not too many guys that coach 40 years and don't have it happen to them. Anyways.
Yeah.
So we got let go there, and then I went and went to Central Michigan, and we'll just move on from there. It was not a great experience.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, well,
we
won't talk
about it. It was a 6-month experience, and anyways, so.
Yeah.
Then, we're on the street again 6 months later.
Yeah.
And
my
wife said, I'm going to Indianapolis. Find a job. That's when I got hired at UIndy. Joe Polizzi hired me as a defense coordinator, and I was there for 6 years and then took over, and that's where I ended up with the rest of my career.
Yeah.
I was there a long time. I think I was there 12, 14 years, something like that.
It's a good place to end, though.
Yeah. It was a great place. I was a head coach. I ended up being the head coach.
Yeah.
We had a chance to win.
Yeah.
and
you did win.
And so, that makes this job so much better.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Any job.
No,
You get a sale, you get a new client or whatever. Anytime you win in your job, you're a happy guy.
Yeah.
Happier.
It's a lot less stressful, that's for sure.
Beats the alternative.
Oh, yeah. So I know you kind of went through some of them, but are there any standout memories from your time coaching in general or that you want to talk about?
Just the fact that you're around so many young men that grow up.
Mm-hmm.
That is so cool. Mm-hmm. That, and some of them don't, but most of them, they handled the discipline, they handled the toughness that you try to mm-hmm. install in them, and the accountability, and doing the right thing at the right time, and all those things, and to see people grow and become successful, it is really gratifying.
Really rewarding. Yeah.
So that and winning's fun too.
Yeah. winning.
I like winning.
I've gotten that. That's funny.
Yeah.
That has to be so rewarding, though, seeing them actually then become men, like you said.
Yeah. 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 It's hilarious. Because some of them come from nothing. I mean, and that's not a knock on them. That's just where they're from. But to have that opportunity and to take advantage of it, is a credit to those kids. And
yeah.
A lot of them did. And a lot of them, became college, first time college graduates in their life, in their households, and which is good.
100%. Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
So,
do you have any stories from different recruiting visits?
Oh.
Probably a lot.
Yeah. It was crazy. I won't get into names, but we were recruiting the heck out of this kid from Indianapolis. And man, he just wouldn't say yes, And so, Bill, you're there. Coach Lynch said, go get a commitment, And he started yelling at us. So Springer and I, Dennis Springer, the African-American guy.
I love Dennis.
Yeah, Dennis is awesome. I mean, he's a Butler guy. I recruited Dennis.
I didn't know Dennis was a Butler guy, too.
I recruited Dennis Springer.
Because he coached at IU, right? Am I remembering
there,
that right?
With... And then he was at Northwestern for
yes.
a long time.
Okay, okay. And is he still in coaching?
Now he's in business in okay. Chicago making
Well, that's money. Probably a better yeah. decision.
But so. Anyways, Dennis, I got a great recruiting story for him. His dad, here's a recruiting story for Springer. So the recruit Springer... I knew that his dad was a Jamaican,
okay.
and he didn't speak English real well.
Oh, okay.
Well, at Butler, we had a Jamaican custodian.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going...
trying to make connections.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
On Dennis's visit with his dad, I had the custodian hooked up with this dad, and they were yapping in whatever language that is. I mean, I
yeah.
couldn't follow. And
yeah.
So that was hilarious, and Dennis... To this day, when we talk and he gets going and he goes, well, you know, you had me when you had my dad.
Yeah, you were a genius.
Yeah. So those are little things you tried to do as a recruiter, you
yeah.
know, trying to hook them up.
Yeah, but what was the story with you and Dennis trying to get the
kid? Oh, the kid from Ben Davis, like bangs out. Ben Davis, he just wouldn't commit. So Big Bill says, you got to go get him. So we would make a, and he lived in Hawville, which is,
okay.
He met us and walked us into the house. It was a tough neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so anyways, we're in there. I said, what are you doing? Are you coming? You know, it's getting close. We got to go on to the next guy if you're not. And, he kind of hemmed hawed around. I said, great. And we left, and I looked at Dennis. I said, did he commit? And Dennis said, I think so.
He was like, there you go.
And sure enough, he
did.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
So we were laughing all the way back to Muncie on that one.
Oh, I bet. The recruiting stories are always the funniest.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah, Kevin.
I mean,
Kevin shares a lot of entertaining.
Oh, God, yeah. We, you know, going in snowstorms and, you know, when you used to sign kids on signing day,
yeah.
you could do it physically at 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, you could bring them the letter and
mm-hmm.
that type. And then the school would be canceled here, so you'd be driving down to meet them at their house. And
it was a mess. Yeah,
nuts.
It's a lot.
There's a lot of stories like that.
But honestly, like hearing you say that story, your upbringing, growing up with around so many different types of families probably helped a lot.
Oh,
in
no
coaching.
Question. I could speak their language.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You could relate to a lot of people.
No question.
That's funny. Yeah, what advice would you give to coaches who are going through like a big losing streak? I know you love winning, but
yeah, well, we've been the other way too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just you got to be consistent. Don't change philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where some guys change drastically, and it all falls apart after that. But
mm-hmm.
if you keep the rudder going straight and you know, fight through it and try to maintain as much as you can. Now sometimes you got to change little things. I understand that, but
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm talking basic philosophy and how kids are treated and that type of thing. Everything's got to be the same. It can't be, you know, well, we're going to open the door for this or that, or
mm-hmm.
we're going to make this harder and that harder. Just be consistent, because the kids see through that so quick.
Yeah.
They're not dumb.
No.
No. So, you know,
the second you think they're dumb, they prove that they're really not.
You're right. Exactly. They say something that you go, ooh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. You really are listening.
Yeah. Gaining on it, boy.
Yeah. So you did, like you've talked about, you saw great success at UND. What would you say went into those winning seasons?
Well, two things like any winning season: good coaches and good players.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole key,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it might not be that way for 1A, 1B, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we had good players. We finally started getting some. UND, when I got there, I treated it like Butler in 1991.
Yeah, that
and
makes
so
sense.
So it was that way. We were a D2 scholarship place, and that helped us recruit. And also ended up in a great place. I had a great mentor there, and my AD was Dr. Sue Willey, and she was a football fanatic.
Really?
Oh,
that helps,
God.
Too.
Oh, God. She's a season ticket holder for Colts. I mean, she likes football.
Yeah.
And she wanted football to be successful.
Yeah.
So, but she was great. In fact, I just talked, she retired and lives in Florida. I text with her mm-hmm. periodically. Anyways, she was awesome. And mm-hmm. she gave me the opportunity to be the head coach. And, you know, she didn't have to, but then she hired me to be an assistant. And it was great. So we had a great relationship. And it all stems from the top, like any organization. Your top better be very supportive in
yeah.
terms of being successful and that type of thing. That's where it all starts. You ask, you know, what aids winning, I think. And that's the number, you know, along with players, coaches, the support from the administration has to be there.
Yeah.
Through good and bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, you talked about at Butler, what was it, the AD that wasn't a big football fan at that one point?
Sylvester was the AD.
Oh.
So he was the AD football coach. And it was at a time where guys were breaking off from doing both.
Oh.
And so that added a little bit. Other sports were chirping about.
Yeah, which makes sense.
You know, football got
It's hard not to have bias.
Right,
I mean, when
biased.
You
exactly. So, yeah. So, anyways.
Interesting.
But, yeah, it was interesting. But Sylvester, he was top-notch, man. He was,
mm-hmm.
this is the way we're doing
yeah.
it. And we got that thing turned around. And 2 years later, we're in the playoffs. So,
yeah,
I mean,
there you go. That's yeah. what, at any moment, even in the season, they can turn around.
Right. Well, it's like Ball State with Bill. Shoot, we're playing Marshall for the championship.
Yeah.
The year we got let go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, okay.
Yeah, we're good.
What more do you
Byron Leftwich, he's played in the NFL. I mean, shit, man.
Yeah.
Like,
what
like,
else?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You talked about when you're talking about your playing career at Butler, that you took some of Coach Sylvester's sayings. What are some of those sayings?
Oh, just silly things. I mean, you know, he was, like I said, he was an old Marine, and he had a saying on Labor Day. We always practice on Labor Day.
Yeah, okay.
And so he'd always go, hey, labor on Labor Day. So you could say that today to this group of guys that I hang with, and they would, you know, everybody would just, yeah, that's
labor
it,
on
you know. Anyway, so yeah, just little things like that, you know, nothing in too big, but anyways, we had an assistant coach, Coach Overteen, who's probably the most intense coach I've ever been around.
Really?
Yeah, and he got out and went into business and made a bookie.
Killing,
bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he'd walk in practice, he'd sweat so profusely that his shoes would squeak.
Really?
Yeah, there's like,
oh,
they
man,
were,
that's
like,
bad.
It would be like a day, you know, in 96 out, no rain, and it sounded like his feet were in rain. I mean, it was full of water. He was very intense. And,
yeah.
But he always said, how do you feel, we feel about you? And you'd be there, you know, you'd be like an 18-year-old kid going, geez, I don't know. How do I answer that?
That's a hard one.
I mean, to tell you now, that, and he was the defensive guy, and I played offense, but he was the, you guys today, they imitate him. He just shake that finger. Oh, God, he had some crazy sayings. Anyways, he was a very intense
character,
human being,
yeah.
Man.
Woo. Oh, yeah. I bet he did make a killing if he's...
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So you were my Uncle Kevin's boss. I know you've watched the interviews that I've done with my grandpa at Butler Ball State, and my grandpa mentions you teaching my Uncle Kevin how to coach in both of those interviews. So I'd love to talk a little bit about Kevin.
He had a lot of good mentors, starting with your grandpa, his dad. He didn't have to look far, you know, to get coached up. Mm-hmm. He knew. I mean, you know, he worked with them too down at IU.
Yeah, he was GA.
Yeah, Kevin gave him his first job.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And we had a couple kids on the staff, guys on the staff that had to let go, not let go, but hire Kevin over, and who ended up going on and being a head high school coaches, so that's good for them.
Yeah, that is good.
But anyways, Kevin did a great job, very enthusiastic, like he is now. And, he's easy. I mean, you knew he'd be good. And, you know, very hard worker, detailed, you know. At times, a young guy where you have to look at him cross-eyed.
Yeah.
You know, tell him to shut up.
Yeah.
But he was, you know, every once in a while, he'd have, you know, dumb opinion, like they all do as young coaches.
Everyone does.
We all did. Anyways, but you knew he was going to be good. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, very detailed. And that's so. One thing that, you know, and you didn't have to tell him twice.
Yeah.
So many young guys, coaches, I told you, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, what part of that don't you understand?
Yeah.
You know, anyways. So, but he was a lot of fun, did a great job. He and Caitlin, we used to have parties here before the season, and got to meet her before they got married, and she was her and Brad Jones and we had a good group.
Yeah, for sure.
It was a good group to start with. Chris Keevers, who's
now the head coach.
The UND now head coach, and he's doing a great job of continuing to win.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, anyways. But Kevin did a good job, and, you know, he's been through it.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I mean, staying it long enough.
Yeah, well, it was funny when you said staying it long enough, because Caitlin always, like, because when they were at UND, you guys were winning all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Go to Ball State and lost. They had some success. They had success, too. But,
yeah,
it's like, oh. She would bring up randomly, like, oh, UND was such, they're so fun.
Yeah, it's always fun to win.
Yeah, and it's on everyone. It's
exactly. Just, no question.
Yeah.
Especially on the wives.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
It's stressful.
Ooh,
stressful, no, for sure. You brought up Brad Jones. Have you ever, this is kind of random, but have you ever listened to the Fourth Thumbtacks podcast?
I haven't. I heard him
Coach
early
Tree.
On.
Yeah.
It was him and Billy. He's a funny guy.
He's a smart guy, too.
Yeah. He's the guy your dad gave me. He was a GA. And he was hilarious.
Yeah.
We had a good group, I can tell you. It was a fun group, and
mm-hmm.
we won a lot of games.
Yeah. So, how did you know it was time to retire?
You know, people that know me and I know myself, I have to be 100 miles an hour into it or it ain't done work for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it started to fade away a little bit, and I said, I'm not going to let this program, which I built along with other people, you know, suffer, because I just want to ride things out.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was able to, you know, again, probably shouldn't have, but I did financially.
Yeah.
Now that I'm getting ready to pay for a wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, so that's part of it, too. So yeah. I just felt it was time.
Yeah.
I wanted to, you know, I go to bed early and I get up early, but I don't have to rush with that coffee in the morning.
Yeah, that makes all the difference.
No question.
Yeah.
So I can do what I want to do when I want to do it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's worth it. And what was your favorite part about being a football coach, though?
Oh, there's too many. I'd say one's the most important thing. I think the people I've met
mm-hmm.
been great. Other coaches from across the country, of which still are friends, you know, and still keep in touch. I had a list going the other day where I was wishing texting everybody good luck this fall.
Yeah.
So, but that part of it, the camaraderie with the team, the coaches, competing.
Yeah.
I like to compete, like mm-hmm. to win.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and there's just so much. Seeing kids grow up was mm-hmm. big for me because of where I came from.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah. And what advice would you give to the next generation of coaches?
Same thing. Just be yourself. Don't try to imitate somebody or be mm-hmm. somebody that you're not. Kids
yeah.
see through that so much. And a lot of young coaches I had to say, that's not you. You know.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah. You know, on the practice field, to act a different way. Hey, come here, Jack. You know, you know, that's not you. That's not your personality. So be yourself. And
yeah,
that's the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm. That's good advice for just life in
yeah,
general.
Yeah, for anybody.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to transition to marriage. I'm also laughing at this
Linda
pillow
gave us
right
that.
Here. Really? We
yeah.
stopped this marriage for rookie football season?
I think Linda did.
She probably did.
Oh, yeah.
No, like my grandma, she likes to buy.
Oh, God. Does she? QVC, man. She used to be.
She's not a QVC person as much anymore.
She used to be.
Now it's more Amazon. Oh, I remember. I was old enough to remember QVC, HSN.
Dry
Bill Nuts. HSN. He'd get home, there'd be like 5 packages at the door.
Oh, a day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But how did you meet your wife?
Well, she's a Butler grad.
Okay.
She's a year behind me. First time I met her was at Butler. I don't know how it was at DePaul or wherever.
Yeah.
Sororities, and fraternities, when freshmen got on campus, they'd throw pool parties or something
yeah.
at off campus. Kind of where everybody kind of got together and,
mm-hmm.
and met her that night, and then didn't see her for 4 years.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I saw her, but we never dated during college.
Oh, interesting.
One of my friends I told you about earlier on, he got married to one of her sorority sisters, and she was in the wedding, and I was in the wedding on his side. And after that,
you guys hit it off.
Yeah, I think that was when we started dating, 1979,
80. Uh-huh, yeah. Do you remember your first date?
I was at the wedding,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, you ended up spending
yeah,
the whole time.
Yeah, we were kind of chummy there, so anyways.
Yeah, how did you know she was the one?
Yeah, well, she put up with my ass.
Yeah, that's a pretty good sign.
She's her own person.
Mm-hmm.
Very strong-willed. Good gal. I mean, heart should do anything for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But she's her own person, and I respect that.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
That's it.
I just figured, can't do any better.
How did you ask her to marry you?
Oh. Well, we were out to dinner, and we talked about rings and got rings. And she picked out one she liked. My brother knew a jeweler, and anyways.
Yeah.
So, but I went and picked it up, and then we went out to dinner, and I put it in the wine glass, and I made a toast, and there it was in the bottom of the wine glass.
Oh, so she didn't choke on it?
No, I wouldn't let her.
Yeah.
I kept toasting.
Yeah, hoping that she would see it.
Take a peek, you know.
Yeah, look at the wall.
Anyway, so that was how I proposed to her.
Yeah, and what was your wedding like?
Oh, we had fun. All my Butler boys were there.
Oh, yeah.
Bill. Hey, LaRose. When you talk to LaRose, ask him about that night.
That was. Okay, I will.
But, we had fun. It was, and she's from Paris, Kentucky.
Oh, okay.
Don't know where Paris is.
No, I don't.
Okay. It's 17 miles east of Lexington.
Oh, okay. I know.
In the middle of horse country.
Oh, beautiful then.
Gorgeous.
Is that where the wedding was then?
Yes. It was at her country club. And
I bet that was so pretty.
Little town, but the biggest part of the wedding was my dad's two brothers were bachelors. Oh. Sound familiar?
Yeah, it does sound very familiar.
I mean, exactly. They're two guys that, you know, good guys, but they were big horse betting guys.
Oh.
And so Laura's grandpa, this is getting off the subject, but it's a pretty cool story.
Yeah.
Laid all the asphalt for Claiborne Farms. Now, that doesn't mean probably much for you, but Secretariat, Seattle SLU.
Oh, wow.
All of them were born there. And they were.
Wow, that's
so the before the wedding, Laura got her grandpa, because you can't get into those barns. They're like Secret Service. I mean, it's like police everywhere. And this is like an 81.
Oh, wow.
So he got us in to see these horses. It was really cool.
Yeah, I bet.
Triple Crown winners. Yeah.
That is cool.
Yeah, so that was cool. I mean, everybody had fun. So
yeah.
That was the night before, the day before, and then Laura's brother's musically inclined, and he plays a lot of different instruments. And,
mm-hmm.
Anyways, his band came and played, and he had a girl singer that my sister-in-law said, when I close my eyes, I think it's Christy McVie.
Very good.
Yeah, so they were really good.
Oh, that's
anyways,
fun.
We had a hell of a time.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun. That was the wedding down there in Paris, Kentucky. Right. They still talk about it.
How many years have you two been married?
81, so it was 41 this year.
All right.
I think. So
what would you say is the key to a happy, long marriage?
Stop, listen, and think so before you say anything.
That is a good
one. We're just, it's the same old, a lot of the same old stuff. Don't go to bed angry at night and that type of thing. Be your best friends. That's when my daughters are getting married, I told the guys that are married, I said, just be your best friend. So it's pretty easy after that.
Yeah. That's what my dad says too.
Yeah.
Be best friends.
Best friend.
So you have two daughters, right?
Yep.
And any funny stories from when they were little?
Oh, well, they were actively involved with, Butler and going to parties after the games and that type of thing. Ball State, pretty, really actively at Ball State and went to the bowl games. And we lost, my wife lost one. Somehow she got separated on the way to the game. And, I mean, it was one of those 30-second loss, all points bulletin or anything like that. But, yeah, they had fun. They went to Burris, my older one.
Okay, yeah.
She went to Burris.
Yeah.
And played all the sports and tennis. She had a good run. They had a good run in tennis.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty good in tennis.
Yeah. Was
Beer- so Delta, too.
Was Beer- yeah, was Bierman there?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. He did teach me lessons when I was in high school.
There you go.
He's good, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he and his wife, right?
Yeah.
And his wife.
Yeah, they're both.
Good people.
Very good people, yeah.
Yeah, so they were... That's where she learned. Both of them live in Denver.
Oh, nice. Fun place to visit, but why Denver?
I don't know. They got caught up in that movement out there 10 years ago when everybody, a lot of Muncie girls were moving there.
Yeah.
A lot of friends from IU. They both went to IU.
Okay. It's pretty there. Very different than here.
It's real expensive.
Yeah.
Housing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very.
Two of my friends moved there after DePaul, but they actually just moved back to Indy. But they were raving about how much cheaper the rent is here.
Oh. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. What did you stress the most to your daughters when they were growing up?
Don't lie.
Yeah.
I was a big one on liars. I hate liars.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I know I shouldn't use hate.
I don't
like them.
Yeah, I mean, fair.
So... own up, and that's one big thing I try to teach, just tell me the truth, and that type of thing. So we talked about that. We talked about how important family is. And we always had family dinners were important, you know, because that's what I grew up with and that type of thing. So I always thought that was important. And, we have those and, you know, just treat people like you want to be treated. Mm-hmm. Pretty simple.
Yeah. What was the most rewarding part about being a parent, or what is the most rewarding part, I guess?
See the growth. I mean, you know, and the maturity and handling things, and, you know, good and bad, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And how many grandkids do you have?
Two boys.
Two boys? That's fun for you.
Tommy and Aiden, yeah.
How old are they? I don't
get to see them. Two and four. And two. Yeah, it's still young guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, one's a... she married a my daughter's about like this tall.
Oh really?
Anna, and the guy she married is like 6'6".
I mean, wow!
Like, he's like a big tall Irishman.
Their
last name's Bannigan.
Okay, yeah.
And so they have a Tommy is a, it looks like an Italian guy, and the Aiden, the little guy, is a redheaded Irishman.
Oh, that's funny. About like your parents then.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's funny.
But, that's hilarious.
It's good.
That is good. What's your favorite part about being a grandpa?
Oh, guys, get a kick out of how they're growing.
Yeah.
You know, and starting to communicate and barely to talking and, and all that. And then, you know, again, it's hard when you're here. Although I'm part owner of Southwest Airlines. Because many points, you know.
Oh, I'm
it's
sure.
Too easy.
Yeah.
It's too
worth
easy.
It, too. It's
yeah. We're out there about every other month.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, because we stay with one of them, so it doesn't matter. I mean, all you got to do is get there. And it's, you know, if we can leave here, if everything's right, you know, with Southwest and air flights as they can be, you know, 5.5 hours, we're door to door.
Yeah. Not too bad.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not moving.
Yeah.
I can't afford it.
No. You're an indie guy. You're an Indiana guy. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, as you look back on your life, who would you say has had the biggest impact on you and why? These are more serious ones.
I don't know if there's one person.
Yeah.
I can't pick one guy. Yeah, obviously, I have to start with my dad. Because I saw him coach.
Yeah.
And I saw him, how hard he worked to provide for his family. I saw how he handled things, good and bad. But I saw when he coached, he did some great things for kids that were a little less off than we were.
Mm-hmm.
He'd pick up kids for practice and take them home. You know, and some tough areas and that couldn't get a ride home. And, you know, it was different.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyways, so he's a big influence for me. Yeah. And then all the mentors I had as head coaches and assistants, guys that, you know, I played with. You get something from everybody, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you really grab something from everybody. That's you know, worth a grain of salt, so to speak.
Yeah.
So
it's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to be a sponge. You know, I like that. I don't like that.
Yeah.
That's what forms your whole view of things and the way you act. So.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite time period of your life?
Man, I never thought of that. It's always been go, 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 go.
Yeah. No time to stop.
So, yeah. Not really. I mean, you know, we not really.
Like it all.
Trying to think when time period, you know, the birth of my kids was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those days are
pretty
special.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you remember those days exactly. Mm-hmm. What happened and what time and everything. So, I don't know. But eras, you know, we've had good runs wherever we've been, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, starting at Butler and Ball State. And we'll skip to the place, and then we'll go down to UIndy.
Yeah.
You know, so we had moments in each one of those segments where, wow, it's mm-hmm. pretty cool.
Yeah. Do you have any regrets?
Well, as Frank says, regrets. I've had a few.
Yeah, start singing.
No, not really. You know, a couple things you'd wish you'd done differently.
Mm-hmm.
But that's life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're always going to, you know, second guess yourself in certain situations and, you know, try to make the best decision you can and with the knowledge you have at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But no, not really.
Yeah, that's good. You know,
it's been a good run.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to keep going.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Yeah. Do you have a certain philosophy you try to live by?
Used to be when you're coaching, like you're going to win today. I mean, every day is like win today. Do something that's going to help your team win, mm-hmm. your coaches win, whatever. Mm-hmm. Every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now it's, you know, try to enjoy life a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Take a couple steps back and look mm-hmm. around and see what you've accomplished and enjoy that. You know, I'm not big on awards or anything like that, you know, but,
yeah.
it's nice, but mm-hmm. it's okay. There's a lot of people put a lot of effort into that.
Yeah. What advice would you give to younger generations? You've kind of said some stuff like this.
Yeah, again, be yourself. And take all of your experiences and put them to good use. And, you know, you're going to make mistakes. Just step back, think, and, you know, make a decision and go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is the most important thing in life?
Now?
Yeah, just in general. Like, just about life.
Oh. Well, I'm not into politics.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people are.
Yeah.
So, my wife included.
And my Mimi's included in that too. I'm like,
so yeah, I try not to let that stuff affect me.
Mm-hmm.
I have opinions, but anyways, I don't know. I like to enjoy the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, yeah, you can't get caught up too far in advance or too far behind you, because all of a sudden, I mean, it's like the second week in August already.
Yeah, it's crazy. Wait,
are you seeing it?
I'm feeling it.
Summer's like gone.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like,
I used to tell the guys that 4th of July, summer's over.
And that's Kevin, the one month off.
Kevin's always going, that's not right. I'm going, now he just texts me, 4th of July weekend. He goes, the summer's over. Yeah. So, I mean, it's
funny.
Crazy that way.
Yeah,
you know
it
what
is.
I mean? It's just, God, it goes so fast that, mm-hmm. Scary.
It is scary.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. So they, you know, I turned 70 last October.
Mm-hmm.
And my kids, they surprised me. I was at the Butler game, and I was, it was homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the parking lot, and I didn't know they were coming.
Yeah.
And they showed up, and, you know, the reason I'm bringing this up is that, you know, that was a year ago already, almost.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, don't blink.
Anyways. Yeah. Seriously.
Yep.
What day in October is your birthday?
7th.
Okay. Nice. I'm October 24th, but.
Are you a Libra?
I'm a Scorpio.
Oh,
I'm paying attention
no.
to that. That's a.
See how balanced I am.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm laughing that you asked that. It's funny. So wait, you're Catholic, right?
Yep.
And your wife, she's not.
Nope.
So she's how?
A Methodist.
So how?
Oh, that was interesting.
Yeah, let's hear about that.
What? She'd been around when her mom was around. Her mom was a Kentuckian, and through and through, she was a politician down there, and she is. Yeah, I was a Northerner.
Yeah.
I got called that.
Yeah, Northerner. You got called that.
But she had learned to love me. Anyway,
yeah,
so I made her, I worked it hard anyway, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, now her dad was a former Catholic who converted to the Methodist religion.
Okay.
And that's how, and the girls were baptized because it's one of those things when I was coaching.
Yeah.
I didn't want to screw with it.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's
so
fair.
And she's pretty adamant about, you know.
Yeah.
She sang in the church choir. Uh-huh. She's a big music person.
Yeah, my wife. Yeah. Well, she's a music teacher, right? Or was.
Yeah, now she runs her own deal.
Yeah, I've seen on I've seen it.
Promote it.
No, it's great. Oh, I will. We'll do a sponsored ad for the thing. No, that's
oodles
great.
Of music.
Yeah, I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah. She started that when she retired.
Yeah, no, which is cool to have something to.
Anyway, so yeah, that was different.
Yeah.
So we got married, and there was a Catholic priest, and then it was mostly a Methodist wedding, but.
Yeah.
Or a ceremony.
Uh-huh.
Anyways.
Yeah. That is an interesting...
The Catholic priest actually in Paris, Kentucky would not do it in the same church.
Oh.
So I had to go find one in the outlying areas that would come in
and
do the help out with the ceremony.
So were your parents supportive or...
Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
they're Catholics from day one, but it's, you know...
Yeah. You all believe, at the end of the day, you believe this. Yeah. That's what I try to say.
We're good people.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's good souls. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I go to church now by myself.
So yeah.
On Saturdays. So,
yeah. Well, it's interesting because, yeah, I mean, my mom obviously grew up Catholic.
Yeah.
But my dad grew up Baptist. Now we're non-denominational. So I grew up
okay.
more Methodist. Like.
Okay.
But... I try to, Mimi is just...
Oh, I bet she's
gung-ho. She knows that we have strong faith, so, and...
Right.
But she prefers
Catholicism. Oh, there's no question.
Yeah, she's
well,
pretty...
she was a diehard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Bill was, too.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, that...
He wouldn't judge if you weren't. Whereas Mimi is very vocal.
He is so easy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He's always been easy.
Very level-headed.
Yes,
and
yes. That's he's, one thing he taught me.
He's the one, like you
step
said,
back.
The voice, or the even the marriage advice, when you're like, stop and think before you speak.
Right.
He's good about
yeah. Anyways.
Last question. How do you hope to be remembered?
Yeah.
Whew. No, it's like a deep question. Just whatever. Like, what do you
Put
hope people
me in the
would...
ground already.
No. What would you hope people would say about you, I guess?
Hope they say I was consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Big word. It takes in a lot of things. You know, I would hope that they would see that I was, and some guys will argue this, but a compassionate guy to a point.
Mm-hmm.
A stern guy to a point, a fun guy, you know.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It's pretty weird describing yourself.
No, yeah.
I never thought of all these things.
Yeah.
You know.
But consistent.
I don't think about those things. You know, like people get caught up in awards. And, you know, oh, you got in the Hall of Fame. That's great. You know, I had great players.
Cool.
Yeah, right. I'm good. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't give a shit. Really.
It's good.
It's nice, and I appreciate it, but
at the
it's
end
not
of the
what
day.
It's all about.
No, no.
Not at all. So, you know, to answer that would be remembered by, I don't know, be interesting. Hopefully I'm looking down, looking at what people are saying.
He was consistent.
Yeah. Yeah, anyways.
Sitting down with Coach Bart reminded me why these conversations are so important. He's lived a life rooted in consistency, hard work, and compassion. And you could hear how those values carried through in every story he shared. One thing that stuck with me was when he said, "You have to be a sponge, taking in something from everyone you meet, holding on to what's good, and letting that shape who you are." That mindset has made him not only a respected coach, but also a man who has poured into others with wisdom and care. I'm so grateful for the impact he's had on my family and on the countless players, coaches, and friends who know him simply as Coach Bart. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Words of the Wise. I'd love for you to share it with someone who could use Coach Bart's reminder to work hard, stay consistent, and keep learning from the people around you. And if you have someone wise in your life, a grandparent, coach, mentor, or friend whose story deserves to be captured and preserved forever, I'd love to hear from you. Email me at wordsofthewisep@gmail.com or send a message on social media so we can set up an interview and make sure their wisdom lives on. Until next time, I'm Lexi Maynard, and this has been Words of the Wise.